Welcome to How to Build a Tent. This show is not about tent building, but it's how to make you successful. Thank you for listening to the show on a Friday, end of the week. My name is Matt Williams. If you want to reach out to me, find me on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. You can email me at matt@howtobuildatent.com. Love to hear from you. Please subscribe to Fight Laugh Feast, the Fight Laugh Feast Network at fightlaughfeast.com. Put in HTBT in the memo field and you'll get a sweet mug. You'll get tons of benefits and you'll be coming alongside of us as we proclaim the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life. You have to tune in Monday for the great interview that we have with Samaritan Ministries, a great alternative to healthcare, to the traditional health insurance business model. They're like the Chick-fil-A of insurance. It's great, and a Christian company, just fantastic. So please don't miss that. Don't forget to mark that in your calendars as you have a great weekend. And to kick off the great weekend, we got a lot of great news in the economy, or from the economy, or about the economy from the quarter one that I want to go through today. That should just start us off right on this Friday and get us going for the weekend. And the first piece of good news that I want to talk about is from the USMCA, United States, Mexico, Canada agreement. And a nonpartisan kind of neutral committee, as much as a commission, I said committee, I meant commission. As much as a commission can be neutral, you know, there's everyone has their biases or whatnot, but they're considered to be neutral, called the International Trade Commission. They came out with some really great data points, and I'm going to play a video. It's about a minute long because this person sums it up better than I can, and then we'll hit it, and then we'll hit some other great news that's coming out that should have you optimistic about the future, about starting businesses, about your careers, because a lot of great things are happening. So let's get into this video.
We are just getting a report out from the Independent International Trade Commission on the economic impact of the USMCA if it were to pass into law and be put into effect. The ITC finding that the deal would boost U.S. growth and trade, that it would add about a third of 1% onto GDP over the next 5 years, and that it would also create about 176,000 jobs in the U.S. The report says that the manufacturing sector would be the biggest beneficiary of this deal, although it does note that the new rules that would apply to the automotive sector would potentially increase prices for U.S. consumers and decrease sales and consumption of cars as a result. The ITC also finds that the deal would increase trilateral trade, trade between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. It finds that roughly exports from the U.S. to Canada would increase about 6%, exports to Mexico would increase about 7%, and then slightly lower numbers for imports from those countries into the U.S., but certainly seems like a very good data to support the administration's push to get this deal across the finish line. Members of Congress in both chambers have said that they wanted to see this report before they scheduled hearings on the deal and before they decided how they would vote on this deal, because they wanted to know what the impact would be. And certainly this would seem to support the administration's message that it would ultimately be good for the economy.
All right. So the bullet points of what this commission found was that they estimate that it'll add $68.2 billion to the economy, which is great. We need the money. We need to be growing at as fast a rate as possible, especially with all the spending that we're doing. Definitely growing isn't going to be the solution, but it's part of the solution because we need to cut spending. Just like the good old adage for working out is you can't outrun your stomach, or you can't outrun your mouth, depending on what phrase you're using. Just like this, you can't outgrow your spending. We definitely need to cut back, but this definitely helps. Also, it's going to lead to adding 176,000 jobs. And then it goes through a bunch of the exports and that are going to increase as well. We're going to be able to export an extra $19.1 billion to Canada, $14.2 billion to Mexico, and that's just really great news. The more that we can figure things out on this side of the world, and the better that we're going to end up doing, the better interest rates we're going to get, because Europe's a mess. The Chinese economy, although it looks like they had a good report coming out from their economy, it's just interesting over there. So it remains to be seen, but that's really good news. Hopefully that will pass, that the Senate will get that going. And the last thing I'll say about this is a agreement that they're measuring and looking on that is on top of NAFTA, which is the North American Free Trade Agreement, that which is right now in place, that Trump's been saying that he wants to get rid of, that it's a terrible deal. So these numbers are considering that NAFTA doesn't go away, it stays, but this just is like seated on top of it, which I'm okay about. I'm not against NAFTA. I think it's a good start, and it can definitely be improved with things like this. I'm really excited, big free trade, because if you remember, all trade is either one, Americans selling their products to other countries, or two, Americans deciding to buy products, raw materials from other countries because it's a better value than what they can get at home. And when those two things increase, that is, you have more customers to sell to, and also you have more options, more competitive, more people to compete for your business, the lower prices get, the better quality gets, even if it's in another country. And that is why we should be pro-trade. The next point that is really good news is expectations for first quarter growth has suddenly surged because of a lot of good economic activity to 2%. It was expected to be flat for the first quarter because if you remember the government shutdown, then how much the government spending has, that was supposed to impact the economy. And then we had a really harsh winter where a lot of businesses slowed down. So people were thinking it was just going to be a really bad quarter for us. But actually, optimism is now tracking to show about 2.4% growth for that first quarter, which is really good. Whenever you can exceed expectations, that just helps with just the mentality and the aura of the economy. It has people being positive. It has people feeling good, which causes people to take more risk, which causes people to start new businesses, which causes people to invest. And it's just this really great cyclical thing that it creates a synergetic kind of atmosphere in the American people. And that is another good thing. So we got this trade agreement coming out, which is going to be really good. We have great expectations for first quarter growth. It's going to come out April 26th. We're really going to find out. But according to the CNBC Moody Analytics, they have a rapid update survey. They're saying that the economists are thinking that it's looking really good, especially in retail sales. Their export data and business inventories have kind of been driving the mood. Third great point. See, it's just a good Thursday that keeps on giving. Treasury yields, and remember how important this is what we look at to be one of the triggers of a recession. Remember, the yield curve inverted a couple weeks ago, and we were really freaked out about that, or some of us were freaked out about that, because it is one of the indicators that a recession's coming out in 1 or 2 years. But also it's important is because that 10-year treasury, is what people look at and what mortgage rates are based on of, and that fell 1.5% because of how strong consumer demand is right now to about 2.5493%. And this is a great opportunity, even if you're not in the business world and you're just on my listeners, which I love so much, that just like the show. I'm so thankful for you guys. And this might just be a great opportunity to refinance your house. You might be check that out. Remember, when looking to refinance, it's not just about the interest rate, but the closing costs that you're going to have to pay and all of those costs that go into refinance. So you need to do some financial analysis to determine. But hey, it might be a good time for you to refinance your home depending on what your current interest rate is at. And remember, pay off those homes. Don't just use your money to leverage out and become more in debt. Even if you can get money out of your house, it might not always be the best decision for you. Don't be like the people in 2007, 2008, I was in Southern California. I've probably told you this before, where we knew people who had 3 or 4 houses who just kept refinancing money out of their house to buy a down payment on another house. And of course, that other house was in a bubble as well as their own house. So the ability to borrow money was from a bubble, which they took money out to put into another house, which was a bubble, which means they paid way more for it than it was worth. And then because the bubble continued to grow, they got to take money off of that house because they had equity from the bubble. And it just caused this chain reaction. And then when it all popped, then they had a bunch of mortgage payments and they were upside down on their loans and they just got hurt. So learn from the past. Don't be fearful of it, but learn from it. Don't refinance your house to get money out to over-leverage yourself, but refinance your house to get yourself in a good position. And not to say that you can't refinance your house to get money out of it. I'm not against it. I'm just saying be careful. Don't over-leverage yourself. And make sure that you are paying down your debts. I just saw the show, the Ben Shapiro show. He has his Sunday shows with, I was gonna say Gordon Ramsay, but Gordon Ramsay, that's the cook, right? Dave Ramsey, and that guy has so much wisdom. He's so great to listen to. He's definitely way more conservative than I am, and that's probably a fault on me and ignorance of myself. I'm not about to say that that man has less wisdom than me or knows less than I do by any means. If I disagree with him or think you can be a little more liberal, I always say that with some hesitation because I really respect the wisdom of the elderly. Not that he's super old, but he's a lot older than me. But anyways, he was talking about how important it is to pay off your home. And one of the things he said was the average millionaire pays off his home in about 10 years. Now, the typical home loan is for 30 years. And what does that mean? That means that you, in exchange for paying off your house in a longer amount of time and paying more payments for a longer period of time, you're going to pay more interest because there's more risk that you're not going to pay it off in the long term, and the longer it takes for the lender, whoever that is, to get their money back. And so the real price of your house is actually a lot more than what you paid for because of the interest. And most, like Dave Ramsey, will recommend the 15-year loan, and then when you have all your other payments paid off and your debts paid off, then you start putting more money in your house and you pay that off. And he said, like, statistically, that the millionaires of the world, they pay their houses off in 10 years. So if that's something to keep in mind as you're refinancing, don't just keep prolonging paying off your house. You want to pay off your debts. You want to increase the amount of cash on hand that you have month on month. And the biggest tool that you have is your income from work. And you don't want to be putting that all, giving that all away to interest and becoming a slave to the master. The other good news that has come out is two IPOs did really well, and it remains to be seen how they do today and going forward, especially in light of Lyft. Lyft was such a funny story. Lyft came out in their IPO, it's their initial public offering, where they're launched onto the stock market where people can buy and sell them on the stock exchange, specifically the New York Stock Exchange for us if we're investing in American companies or companies that are on the stock exchange in New York. And they had I think it was 30% bump from their initial listing. And there was just like a great commotion, like, oh my gosh, they're doing so well, it's gonna be so great. And then there was like the contrarians that were saying, actually, it's not great because they just sold for way less than they could have. And that was day one. And then the next week and a half or 2 weeks, however long it's been, and I think they've lost like 30% of their initial IPO or listing price, which is crazy. I mean, that is no bueno. And now it's far below what they initially sold it for. So it turns out that they did pretty well. But then there's like this huge dispute between Goldman Sachs and the Lyft company about how that was handled. And it's just a big mess. Anyways, hopefully these two companies are not like that company. And you might have heard about these companies, and I want to share them with you because if you have been looking for companies to invest in and you're new to investments, beyond just doing your research and starting slow and making sure that you are listening to people's opinion and being comfortable with the whole process before you really start committing a lot of money, one of the other things that I recommend is that you invest in companies you know, invest in companies you love. Not that that's the only criteria you should have, but that helps make it more understandable. You want to understand the businesses you're investing in. You want to understand just like what's going on with them, and it's easier to do that when it's companies you love. So this might be one company that fits that criteria for you, and it's Pinterest. Pinterest came out. And Pinterest, as you know, social media site, my wife loves it, especially now that we're popping out the kids. that, you know, they put pins on. I don't have a Pinterest account. I've probably seen it two or three times when my wife has shown me something on Pinterest. But basically, isn't it like just kind of like an Instagram? I don't know. Please, somebody educate me. Someone who does Pinterest, email me, let me know. I don't want to get another social media account, but I would love to hear more about them. And they had a really good showing, but also the like really surprising one to me. I guess it's not surprising to me. But Zoom also came out and they did really well. And at the end of the day are actually valued at a greater price than Pinterest is. And what's interesting about Zoom is two things. One, related to Pinterest, is they're half the size of what Pinterest is, but they're worth way more. Now, you may not have heard of Zoom. Zoom is basically the ability for you to do a video conference, just kind of like a Google Hangouts or Skype. But the cool thing about Zoom is I believe they're the first tech company to launch their IPO that's been profitable. I know that's kind of weird to think about, right? We live in such an interesting time where tech companies don't have to be profitable for a very long time. And I'm not quite sure why that exemption is given to them and why investors allow companies to go so long without making a profit. Probably because they think that that is a good strategy to gain customers, and then they'll turn on the spigot and profits will just come through. You know, I guess, but I mean, a lot of companies get burned that way too, right? But anyway, so they're the first company, at least in a long time, if not ever, I'm pretty sure ever, that has been profitable. And they have so much potential. I love using Zoom, actually. I prefer it more than Skype. I prefer it more than Google Hangouts. It's a really great company. I would really recommend it if you're looking to do video conferencing. And then also, if you want to invest in them, if they're already profitable before their IPO and with all the money that they're making and a lot of potential and growth, especially as technology gets better, as 5G comes out and you're able to do video conferencing at such a better quality on your phone when you're traveling, I think Zoom has a lot of great potential to grow. And even though they did really well off of their initial public offering, I still think they have a lot more room to grow. And I'm even just convincing myself as I'm talking to you that I need to put some money into Zoom. Very exciting. I love it. And for those options traders out there, not for the new investor, usually those options come out like a week after. So be looking for those if you're doing an options trade. And the last thing I will just say on today's show is if you are a company that has remote workers or just has a big campus and you don't always meet in person, but you do meet on the phone a lot, I would really encourage you to pick up the Zoom software. It's free for a certain amount of time, one-on-one calls. And if not, you can get like a Skype or a Google Hangouts and try just starting to adapt video conferencing into your culture of phone meetings. It's not the same as doing meetings in person, but it helps add another level of communication through your non-verbal skills. There you go. I thought I was not going to pull out the word for a second. And it helps people be accountable to pay attention because you're going to be on camera. And when you're on the phone, you could be doing a whole bunch of other things, not paying attention, you know, putting golf or shooting baskets in your office while the door's closed because no one can see you. But when your camera's on you, they can see you and you know if you're not paying attention or not. So there's the negative and the positive reasons why I think that we should start doing this more. I would recommend you doing it for your teams, for your companies, because one, it has accountability. Two, it gives you an ability to read people's nonverbals. And three, it starts to feel more of a tight-knit group and it kind of gives you more of that feel of being in person, even though you're not necessarily are. So I'd highly recommend that. All right. Have a great weekend. Take this stuff that we've talked about and use it in your lives, use it in your business, and let's go out and be successful. God bless.